Hello and welcome back to the second half of the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, September 17th. This is Susan Over. This section of our reading will begin with Man Looks to Dismiss Registry Charge. Bloomington. A sex offender registration charge should be dismissed against a normal man because the statutory limit for filing an offense has expired, the man's lawyer argues in a new court filing. Mark Minnis was first charged in 2014 with failure to provide police with information about his Facebook account as part of his 2010 conviction on a misdemeanor charge of having sex with a 14-year-old girl when he was 16. Minnis of Normal has since been removed from the registry of juvenile sex offenders. The law places juvenile offenders on the public registry for 10 years. In her motion filed August 3rd, defense lawyer Stephanie Wong of Bloomington argues the August 26, 2014 date of the alleged violation falls outside the 3-year statutory limitation for filing a charge. The state refiled the case in June. The state dismissed the initial charge against Minnis in 2015, pending an Illinois Supreme Court review of a constitutional issue related to the case. The case moved into the national spotlight as part of the legal debate over free speech rights for sex offenders. In 2015, former McLean County Judge Robert Freitag dismissed the charges against Minnis based on his opinion the state law was unconstitutional. The legal mandate requiring sex offenders to report their internet and social media activity is overly broad, the judge ruled. The Illinois Supreme Court reversed Freitag's decision in 2016, stating free speech extends to the internet, but concluding the right is not absolute. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan's office became involved in the case after constitutionality issues were raised. The state is expected to argue its position on that matter at an October hearing in McLean County. Among cases that could impact Minnis and similar cases is a June 2017 ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court that struck down a North Carolina law banning sex offenders from social media websites which allow minors to have accounts. End of article. CIRA gets federal award for snow removal equipment. Central Illinois Regional Airport will be able to clear snow more quickly and efficiently thanks to a federal award. The Bloomington Normal Airport will buy 2 high-speed runway brooms to be delivered next summer after receiving $991,773 in U.S. Department of Transportation funding. Quote, we have been planning for this equipment purchase and the grant comes to us through the Airport Improvement Program with the support of Congressman Darren LaHood, said Franz Strebing, Deputy Director of Marketing for CIRA. LaHood, a Dunlap Republican, and U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, a Taylorville Republican, hailed the funding in matching news releases. Airports in Decatur, Lincoln, and Springfield also received funding. Logan County Airport will use $1,153,190 to rehabilitate 2 runways. CIRA, Central Illinois Regional Airport, is nearing the end of a multi-year pavement rehab project, which includes 2 runways, taxiways, and the air carrier apron. The $4.96 million project is 90% federally funded, drawing from grants supported by sales tax on airline tickets. CIRA, overseen by the Bloomington Normal Airport Authority, uses property tax revenue for much of its local spending. Olson said that authority still hopes to expand its tax base to all of McLean County. End of article. Arena ends year with big operating loss. Venue Work cites low attendance as the reason. VenueWorks ended its second full year of managing the city-owned Grossinger Motors Arena with another big operating loss. The downtown entertainment venue exited fiscal 2018 on April 30th, $665,099 in the red. That was an $8,419 improvement from its fiscal loss in 2017. The facility simply did not bring in enough revenue, said Lynn Cannon, who directs the 7,000-seat arena's daily operations for the Ames, Iowa-based venue management firm the city hired in April 2016. Quote, we need to make sure the operating deficit goes down more than $8,000. We need better results than that, said Mayor Terry Renner. End quote. Cannon will present the arena's annual report at the City Council's Committee of the Whole meeting at 6 p.m. tonight at City Hall. The total operating loss reported included a cash infusion of $375,000 from the city in December, which VenueWorks asked for to help cover an operating deficit. At that time, VenueWorks cited a lag in sponsorships, a lack of bookings, and Flying Aces home hockey games, and bad publicity over the previous management's embezzlement, fraud, and theft allegations as some of those reasons for the arena's poor financial performance. The Bloomington Edge football team also postponed its spring season while dealing with issues associated with its league affiliation that resulted in only one Edge game being played in fiscal 2018. Quote, we worked really hard to build revenue for all of our events here. We just came up short on attendance, Cannon said Friday. It's really hard to sell concessions to people who don't come to events. We fell short in food and beverage revenues. We fell short in our facility fee income because we did not sell the number of tickets anticipated. The number of concerts and family and non-sports events last year were about the same as in the prior year. Obviously, more shows could have helped, said Cannon. We did not have as many as we would have liked, so we have been working throughout the summer to increase the number of events we book next year. Essentially, what they are saying is this is a problem with recruitment and marketing, said Renner. That's what we hired them to do. There were several concerts which fell short of ticket sales expectations, said Cannon. Hank Williams Jr. did not meet expectations. Kenny Rogers was a little bit light of what we thought he would do, and even the Brad Paisley show didn't come in as high as we thought that it would. End quote. The operating costs reflected in the final report do not include the arena's construction bonds, capital improvement projects, or depreciation, for which the city is responsible. Central Illinois Area Management, which operated the site for 10 years, did post an operating profit in fiscal 2013 of $176,759. For most of its 12-year history, however, the arena known as the U.S. Cellular Coliseum during CIAM's tenure has operated at a loss. VenueWorks has a 5-year arena management contract through June of 2021. But either the city or VenueWorks can terminate that arrangement beginning in April of 2019. VenueWorks receives an annual management fee of $114,000 plus a 5% commission on food, beverage, and other sales at the arena, including naming rights. End of article. At this time, we will move to obituaries. William Beatles. William Beatles, DDS, 88 of Bloomington, passed away on Wednesday, September 12th at Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal. His memorial service will be at 11 a.m. this Friday at Wesley United Methodist Church in Bloomington. There is a visitation which will be held from 4 until 6 p.m. on Thursday at Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington. Cremation rites have been accorded. In lieu of flowers, memorials in honor of William Beatles may be made to the Wesley United Methodist Church, Illinois Wesleyan University, or to the Lutheran Life Communities Foundation, all of Bloomington. William Beatles was born in Normal to William Thomas and Lita Christina Richardson Beatles. He was preceded by his wife, Nell, in 2010. William Beatles is survived by his son, W. David Chris Beatles of Colorado Springs, Colorado, a daughter, Margaret Dan Deffenbaugh of Plainfield, and 4 grandchildren, Major Matthew Lilly Deffenbaugh, USMC, Jacksonville, North Carolina, W. Michael Jordan Deffenbaugh, Riverview, Florida, Chelsea Beatles and Aubrey Beatles, both of Denton, Texas. He is also survived by 9 great-grandchildren. Bill Beatles graduated from Bloomington High School, went on to Illinois Wesleyan, and furthered his education at Northwestern University Dental School. He was in the Air Force and practiced as a dentist, attaining the rank of captain. Then he came to Bloomington and started his practice, where he enjoyed working until retiring in 1992. To express your condolences to the family of Bill Beatles, please visit CarmityFlynn.com. Arthur Beale Jr. Arthur Edward Beale Jr., born in St. Joseph's Hospital, Joliet, in 1935, they had a lot of space separating this information, passed away on Monday, September 10th at McLean County Nursing Home in Normal. The church was an important entity in Arthur's entire life. He began pursuing training through Moody Bible Institute in 1961 and was called to preach in 1962. He had a strong sense of family, which extended to his community. Some of his experiences as a minister of the gospel included places all over Illinois. His community and service included Home Sweet Home Mission Bloomington, cancer prevention and early detection education for African Americans, board of directors for Broman Hospital in Normal, and a member of the Eastview Christian Church Promise Keepers Prayer and Accountability Group. He went to Haiti on a mission trip in 2000. Arthur Beale Jr. is survived by 4 children: Patricia Austin Thomas, Dwight Beale Jody, Renee Patterson J., and Arthur Beale III, as well as 6 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his beloved wife, Jewel, and 2 children, Reggie Beale and Eiler Beale. His funeral will be tomorrow, Tuesday at 2 p.m. at East Lawn Funeral Home, 1102 Airport Road in Bloomington. Burial will follow at Evergreen Cemetery in Bloomington. There is a visitation from 5 until 7 p.m. Monday at the funeral home. Condolences may be shared with the family of Art Beale at eastlawnbloomington.com. Rhonda Floyd. Rhonda Ann Floyd, 40, of Bloomington, formerly from Kankakee, passed away on September 9th at home. The family will receive family and friends from noon until 3 p.m. this Saturday at Beck Memorial Home in Bloomington. Private interment will be at a later date. The family suggests memorials in honor of Rhonda Floyd be made to a charity of the donor's choice. Rhonda Floyd was born in Kankakee to Robert and Barbara Woodall Floyd. She is survived by 2 sisters, Renee Jason Whitaker of St. Anne and Robin Mark Atkins Campbell of Salem, a niece Tiffany Campbell of Salem, a nephew Travis Campbell of Cape Girardeau, Missouri, as well as aunts, uncles, and cousins. She was preceded in death by her parents and grandparents. She owned and operated her own message therapist business. I think that's written wrong. Her own massage therapist business in Bloomington. Rhonda Floyd will be missed by all who knew her. You may look at her obituary and share condolences and memories with her family at beckmemorial.com. Gerald Hazelwood. Jerry Hazelwood passed away Friday, September 14th at the young age of 67. He was born July 2nd, 1951 in Bloomington to Carl and Dorothy West Hazelwood. He attended Bloomington High, served with the U.S. Marine Corps, and spent his working years with the Bloomington Housing Authority and Illinois State University, from which he retired. Jerry Hazelwood is survived by his wife of 40-plus years, Rose, 2 children, Selena Hazelwood and Bryce Marie Hazelwood. Two sisters, Shirley Tom Edwards and Margie George Gilmore. A brother, Tom Joan Hazelwood. Three grandchildren, Malaya, Kalei, and Sophie, and a great-granddaughter, Navaya. In accordance with his wishes, Gerald Hazelwood, there will be no service at this time. Carcelia Mathis. Carcelia J. Mathis of Normal, formerly from Terre Haute, Indiana, passed away Thursday, September 13th at home. Her funeral will be at 1 p.m. this Thursday at First Baptist Church of Bloomington. Dr. Reverend Adrian Lampkin will officiate. Interment will take place at Park Hill Cemetery in Bloomington. There is a visitation on Wednesday from 4 until 6 p.m. at Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington. In lieu of flowers, memorials in honor of Carcelia Mathis may be made to St. Labre Indian School, Tongue River Road, Ashland, Montana, or First Book, 1319 F Street Northwest, Suite 1000 of Washington, D.C. Carcelia J. Mathis was born in Rockport, Indiana, to Chester and Sarah Stewart Rudy. She was preceded in death by her husband, Bobby, in 2013, and also a grandson, Aaron Preacher. Carcelia Mathis is survived by her daughters, Karen Mathis of Seattle, Washington, Robin David Landry of Normal, and Michelle Mathis of Bloomington, as well as a grandson, Langston Gunn of Bloomington. She was a member of St. John Missionary Baptist Church for many years, and later Highland Baptist Church, both in Terre Haute, Indiana, where she also was a member of the church choirs and taught Sunday school. To express condolences and share memories with the family of Carcelia Mathis, please visit CarmodyFlynn.com. Edith Miller. Edith Marie Miller, 94, of Normal, passed away on Thursday, September 13th at Heritage Health in Normal. Her funeral will be held at 10:30 a.m. this Wednesday at Epiphany Catholic Church, with Monsignor Eric Powell officiating. Burial will take place in Hinthorn Cemetery in Hudson. There is a visitation 1 hour prior to those services on Wednesday at the church. Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington is assisting the family with arrangements. In lieu of flowers, memorials in honor of Edith Miller may be made to the American Heart Association. Edith Miller was born in Minunk to Anthony and Elizabeth McDonald Brockling. She was preceded in death by her husband, Donald, in 2002. Edith Miller is survived by her children, Bill Nan Miller of El Paso, Dan Miller of Normal, three grandchildren, William Yungkung Miller of Hawaii, Anthony Lauren Miller of Virginia, and Angela Miller of Normal, as well as four great-grandchildren. Edith Miller was preceded in death also by a daughter, Kathy Ringer, and four sisters, Dorothy Stack, Lou Klamek, Eileen Stein, and Betty Heineke. Edith was a member of Epiphany Catholic Church in Normal and a member and past president of the Altar and Rosary Society and a member of the Bloomington Knights of Columbus Auxiliary. She was preceded in death by her daughter. She graduated from Benson High School and was employed by ISU prior to retirement. To express condolences to the family of Edith Miller, please visit CarmodyFlynn.com. Olena Valentine. Olena Valentine, 81, of Normal, passed away Monday, September 10th at El Paso Healthcare Center in El Paso. Her memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. this Thursday at Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington. Interment will be in the Evergreen Memorial Cemetery Mausoleum in Bloomington. There is a visitation from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Thursday at Carmody Flynn Funeral Home. Memorials in honor of Olena Valentine may be made to the National Institute of Mental Health El Paso Health Care Center, or the Unit 5 Foundation with funds earmarked for mental health needs. Olena Valentine was born in Russell Springs, Kentucky, to Ferris and Annie Lee Weddle Norfleet. She is survived by her children, Barbara Williams and Deborah Joe Edelman, both of Normal, and Kenneth Eric Butters Valentine of Denver, Colorado, a sister, Erdina Foley of Russell Springs, Kentucky, and two grandchildren. She worked for GE and Eureka Williams prior to retirement. To express condolences to the family of Olena Valentine, please visit carmityflynn.com. Pending funerals. Denny, James Denny, 83 of Bloomington, who passed away on September 15th at his residence, Calvert Ann Metzler Memorial Home in Bloomington, is in charge of arrangements. Foggy, Edith Foggy, 93 of Bloomington, passed away on Sunday, September 16th at her residence. Calvert and Metzler Memorial Home in Bloomington is helping with arrangements. Rust, Shirley Rust, 75 of Bloomington, passed away Saturday, September 15th at home. Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington is in charge of arrangements. And last, Margaret Yordy, Peggy Yordy, 92 of Roanoke, passed away September 15, 2018 at Greenville Nursing and Rehab Center in Greenville. Knapp Johnson Harris Funeral Home in Roanoke is in charge of arrangements. That ends obituaries for today. Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs public help in finding a woman wanted for contempt of court for a felony charge. Talia Elise James, 19, is described as 5 feet 3 and weighing 106 pounds. She has brown hair and brown eyes, light brown skin, and a slight build. Her last known address is in Normal. James is wanted for manufactured delivery of 10 to 30 grams of cannabis and petitioned to revoke. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. You may call 309-828-1111, 309-828-1111. Appellate Court reverses $4.6 million asbestos verdict in McLean County. Bloomington, a $4.6 million verdict returned by a McLean County jury in an asbestos-related lawsuit involving a Colfax man has been reversed by the 4th District Appellate Court. Charles McKinney filed the claim against Hobart Brothers Company, alleging he was exposed to asbestos from welding rods when he worked for Portable Elevator Company. The jury award was returned following a 2016 trial. In his lawsuit, McKinney argued Hobart Brothers failed to warn him of the hazardous materials on welding rods, which were located near his work area for about 8 months in the early 1960s. In a recent ruling, the appellate court found Hobart Brothers had no duty to warn McKinney of the hazard because the company was unaware of the risk. The court also found no evidence welding rods were a substantial cause of mesothelioma, which McKinney later developed. From reviewing McLean County records, the appellate court ruled the amount of asbestos fibers released from the defendant's welding rods by rubbing them together or stepping on them was no more than the amount one would have encountered in a natural environment. McKinney's Bloomington lawyer, James Wilder, said a petition for review of the appellate decision will be filed with the Illinois Supreme Court. Quote, "We are disappointed. This is another instance where this appellate court is in effect setting itself up as a second jury on what McLean County jurors found," said Wilder, end quote. The reversal also is inconsistent with two state Supreme Court rulings related to legal causation in civil cases, said Wilder. Hobart's lawyer, Jeffrey Hebrank, was not immediately available for comment on the reversal. End of article. Public safety. A Chicago man faces drug charges in McLean County. Drenell Willis, 20, is charged with unlawful possession of ecstasy with intent to deliver that drug and delivery of marijuana. Charges relate to alleged drug transactions in August and September. Willis was jailed in lieu of posting the bond of $5,035. End of article. Normal Fire Department. Fire likely caused by a recalled dehumidifier. Normal Fire Department investigators determined the origin of a September 8th fire on Augustine Way was likely a recalled dehumidifier which overheated. An official determination will not be available until an engineer reviews evidence to confirm the finding, the department said last week. Quote, we cannot reiterate this enough. If you have a dehumidifier in your home, you have to check to make sure it is not on the recall list. If it is, stop using it immediately and contact the manufacturer, said Assistant Chief Mike Morrison. That fire at 302 Augustine Way broke out around 4:53 a.m., reported by the homeowner. At the time, Normal Fire Department credited working fire alarms with alerting those residents who were sleeping but escaped uninjured. The fire caused extensive damage to the basement. The second story also sustained damage from heat and smoke, which traveled up the laundry chute. The department did not release a damage estimate. The home is insured. The department said millions of dehumidifiers under various brand names have been recalled in recent years, adding they are responsible for hundreds of house fires and millions of dollars in damage. The largest recall involves 6.7 million units manufactured by the brands Gree and Midea, companies that build and ship dehumidifiers, and that's M-I-D-E-A, the other company is G-R-E-E brand. They build and ship dehumidifiers to different retailers under numerous brand names, said the Normal Fire Department. Between the two manufacturers, there have been more than 2,000 reported incidents of dehumidifiers overheating, resulting in about 450 fires and more than $19 million in property damage, according to the department, adding both recalls are due to a defect which causes units to overheat, begin smoking, and eventually catch fire. Said Morrison, quote, we know there are likely thousands of these recalled units still being used in people's homes. We urge everyone to take this threat very seriously. End of quote. End of article. Health Digest. The Bloomington Huntington Disease Society of America's first Central Illinois Team Hope Walk for the Illinois chapter will be at 9:30 a.m. I should say it was held on Sunday at Tipton Park, Bloomington. Huntington's disease is a rare neurodegenerative brain disorder which robs a person of an ability to walk, talk, think, swallow, and control movement. The website is hdsa.org/THW Bloomington. Social Security information, retirement, or spouse's benefits. You must be at least 61 years and 9 months old and want your benefits to start no more than 4 months in the future. You may apply at socialsecurity.gov/retire online. Disability. You can apply online for disability benefits or continue an application you have already started. Go to socialsecurity.gov. This has been Susan Over reading to you from the second half of the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, September 17th. Until we meet again, I hope that your days are good ones.